in those early years, when I came to know the Lord, he and his family were so against it that they actually advised him to divorce me.
Joy spent many lonely years trying to trust God and love her husband well. Thankfully, she found the support and encouragement she needed.
I think that God just really used Focus on the Family and your guys' ministry to grow me and prepare me and guide my heart to live out in front of my husband what it means to follow Christ.
And the best news of all is that Joy's husband also became a follower of Jesus. I'm Jim Daly. When we work together, we can strengthen more marriages like Joy's and give families hope. Please call 800, the letter A and the word family, or donate at focusonthefamily.com/hope, and your gift will be doubled.
Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast. You can find more helpful advice at focusonthefamily.com/parentingpodcast.
This is John Fuller along with Danny Huerta. Danny's a licensed clinical social worker and leads our parenting department here at Focus on the Family. And Danny, we all want to protect our kids from discomfort. I mean, I think that's a parent's natural instinct. And we know God can use difficult situations to help our kids kind of learn more about themselves and about Him. But let's say I have a teen and it's really painful and I want to help, but I mean, it's a tough one because I don't want to overcompensate and I don't want to, you know, mess things up. How do I handle a teen who's hurting?
Yeah, this is about the big word resiliency, right? Mm. Developing a resilient life or resilient child. And the way that you enter that space as a parent is you begin by listening to what really is the issue and to be fully present and spending time with your child as you process what is really the difficulty. And we can't be allergic to bad emotions or to difficult emotions. They're going to come. And for a child, when they come up, you want to help them understand what it is and then talk about how to respond to them, because they still have a lot of power to respond to what is happening. Mm-hmm. And this can be an opportunity for growth. So it's you putting a new frame, right? We talk about reframing moments, and you're truly putting a brand new frame. You could even draw that if you're very creative, draw a wooden frame or whatever to the situation where you're going to create a new picture for your child of what they're seeing and helping them process what it is that they're truly seeing. For my kids, sometimes we've gone on a run together because they've faced a real tough moment. They've come home crying. I remember my daughter saying, I don't have any friends. I feel lonely at school. And I said, what would be helpful? Because that's got to be hard. Dad, can we go for a run? I said, man, that is so healthy. That's fantastic. Let's go for a run. Really, in reality, I'll be way behind you. But you go for a run afterwards. Can we walk together? And sometimes it's just playing some music together.
Yeah.
Maybe it's playing basketball. Enter their world with them, be present, and then help them know that it's not about fixing it. It's about going through it. There's going to be a new sunrise in the morning, and you can just, things are going to be okay, and you can be with them during the difficult moments.
Some really good insights there, Danny. I'd like to say that I am with you on such things, but we generally just kind of hit the ice cream and let that be a helpful tool in unpacking some of the stress.
Reworking
and talking
the perspective through sugar, right?
We reframe with ice cream in the Fuller home. So, Michael Anderson and Timothy Johansson were guests with Focus President Jim Daly and me, and we talked about the unhelpful tendency that most parents have to protect our kids from even some of the smallest of challenges.
Michael, it's laid out right in Scripture there, but you know how foreign a concept that sounds to a Western ear,
yes,
a Western listener? We're trying to do everything we can to avoid the first step. We don't want to suffer in any way. Our whole culture is built on reducing suffering and pain.
And what we're learning is that it's very dangerous to try to keep your child too safe.
And I think that's a really important thing for parents to hear, is that you cannot protect your kids from everything. You should not. You cannot create their path so that they don't have any adversity or hardship. You shouldn't, as a matter of fact. You need to allow them to make their mistakes, stumble, and be alongside them to help them get up and teach them along the way that this is the nature of life.
The great lyricist and poet Jackson Browne put it this way. I just love this. He said, "I would keep her here if I were able to lock her safe behind an open door." And you can't lock somebody safe behind an open door. And that's the dilemma that every parent faces.
Things are going to happen. And you need to be ready to respond with that.
Life is not going to be easy. Tim and I gave a talk about a while back, and just on the spur of the moment, there were about 70 parents there, mostly between 40 and 60. And I asked, how many of you's lives have gone harder than you thought they would go? And 90% of those parents raised their hand. Mm. And that was chilling to me. And that's the world we have to prepare our kids for. It's for most of our kids, their life will be more difficult than they anticipate. And it's our job to get them resilient enough to face that.
Well, that's a good term, that resiliency. And when you're parenting, that is what you want your children to walk away from their childhood with, is that resiliency to be able to endure.
Right. And we don't celebrate that enough.
We don't. Right. Not at all.
No. Getting back up. You know, your kid writes half of an English paper on the computer and the power goes out and they lose the paper. The thing to applaud there is getting up and rewriting the paper. It doesn't matter the grade. It's right. The resiliency that we need to applaud.
But a lot of parents participate in the victimness of that.
Explain that. What's an illustration?
If that would happen, the parents are going to get all upset and mad and angry at the fact that they just spent 2 hours writing half a paper that's been lost. But the parents need to think about this differently and say to themselves, hey, this could be on my child's checklist to adulthood.
But most parents, I'm guessing, most of our listeners are going to be trying to figure out how to problem solve for that child. Okay, let's see. Now, how can we do this? I found myself doing this. Well, surely there's a backup. And we spend 15 minutes trying to see if there was an autosave somewhere. And eventually we get to the realization that there's not. I'm guessing a lot of parents would say then, well, I'm going to call the teacher and explain why my child doesn't have the paper done.
And they shouldn't.
Why?
Because the kid needs to understand that, you know, things like this happen in life, and I need to now deal with it. I need not to complain about it and sit and mope about it or have an adult in my life feeling sore for me. Mm. I need to do what needs to be done.
Well, to that problem-solving energy, if we want to call it that, in fact, in GIST, your book, you talk about a child breaking a window and what happened in that context. I mean, that's where I would jump in and call the neighbor and start working it out.
Where solid parenting transfers into joy of parenting is when you get excited about watching how your kid's going to handle this. Mm. We just talked about a kid losing half an English paper. The instant that happens, to think, this is going to be amazing to watch how my boy handles this. And in the story you were talking about, a girl breaks the neighbor's window, and your first thought is, okay, how long is it going to take her to go ring the doorbell next door? What is my daughter and Mrs. Johnson going to decide about the window? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to fix it? And to discipline yourself to stay back until you need to step in.
That sounds so foreign to so many parents, but it's a good thing to do. I get the outcome of it.
One of the tenets of our approach is to train yourself to step back and let things transpire a little bit.
Ask yourself, how is this going to turn out? Hmm. And just watch in wonder and amazement at what's going to happen.
That sounds so easy, though. I'm telling you.
Is there anything I really need to do here?
Some really helpful advice from our guests, and I so appreciate the reminder. One of the most important jobs you have as a parent is to prepare your child for the challenges that you think they're going to face down the road. And Danny, you mentioned resilience at the beginning of the episode. Other ideas along the way here?
Yeah, how to bounce back. I mean, let's teach our kids early on how to fail well, how to learn how to lose, and how to gain a perspective and look at things from different angles. If we have that fixed mindset that if we fail, we're bad, or somehow that forms our identity, we get stuck there.
Yeah.
And so teaching our kids that life is a constant opportunity for growth and to bounce back and to come different the next day, and giving them those perspectives from just as simple as a sunset and a sunrise, right? To have those every day, it shows that we're in constant change and growth, and to try to be perfect is really a tiring thing.
Yes.
So for kids, just give them the opportunity to fail. Show them when you do. When you don't do things perfectly, learn how to laugh at yourself, bring laughter into your home, and don't take yourself too seriously, or even life. I mean, life is an opportunity filled with invitations, and this one would be an invitation to teach your child what it means to be a human being dependent fully on a Heavenly Father who says that in our weakness, we are made strong in Him. And you can model that and teach that to your kids through many invitations of failure in our lives.
I appreciate that. And I hope that this has resonated with you, and we'll encourage you to pick up a copy of the book by Michael Anderson and Dr. Timothy Johansson. It's a wonderful resource. So many common sense parenting principles in it. It's called GIST, The Essence of Raising Life-Ready Kids. And we'll send a copy of that to you when you make a generous donation of any amount to Focus on the Family. We're listener-supported. We rely on your monthly gift or your one-time contribution. Either way, whatever you can do, donate, and we'll send the book to you. We've got details in the episode notes, or call 800, the letter A, and the word family. And when you're at the website, be sure to look for more foundational and biblical parenting advice. Danny and his team have a tremendous breadth of articles, videos, audio, so many different things there. And they also have a series of articles describing the 7 traits of effective parenting. You can find out more about that terrific series in the episode notes. Next time, we'll address a child who may seem unmotivated. And that's a pretty common problem for a lot of parents. I'm John Fuller. On behalf of Danny and the team, thanks for listening today to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
Investing in a child you love has never been easier. Clubhouse and Clubhouse Junior magazines from Focus on the Family thrill kids ages 3 to 12 with faith-building activities they love, cool crafts, fun puzzles, and fascinating stories. Bring faith-filled fun to your mailbox. Subscribe today at focusonthefamily.com/kidsmags. Clubhouse and Clubhouse Junior, award-winning magazines full of games, stories, and God. Find them at focusonthefamily.com/kidsmags.